The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi, and welcome to the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. My name is Dan Latto, and in this podcast, we've got a Facebook Live. So I did a Facebook Live in the last couple of days, and of course, not everybody can watch the Facebook Lives, but the information in those Facebook Live events are really important. So I wanted to share them, and I wanted to get them down as a podcast. And so here is that Facebook Live. Speak soon. Morning, everybody. It's Dan Latto. It's 8 o'clock in the United Kingdom. Welcome this morning. It's Wednesday. Hope you're very well. How are you doing today? Midweek. It's the 12th of December when we're recording this live in the Facebook group. So we've got 13 days left to Christmas. So people are certainly winding down, that's for sure. You can't contact anybody. Nobody returns your call. Everyone's on holiday. Everyone's recovering from hangover from the Christmas do. It's not as easy as it is normally, is it? But in today's podcast, I wanted to talk to you about why people don't do what they know they should do in order to go and get those results. Good morning, Neil and Julie Morris. Hope you're well. So why do people not do what they know they should do in order to go out and get those results? Well, there's a couple of reasons, actually. So really it can be broken down into two separate areas, okay? So the first area is it's not a priority. So you know when someone says, let me give you two areas because I'm going to forget them, by the way, and I'm going to write them down as well. The first one is it's not a priority, and I think I've just forgotten what the second one was. First one is it's not a priority, and the second one is, I know what it is, it's too hard. It's too hard, or it won't work. I have to write this stuff down because otherwise I forget. Okay, so let's talk about the first one. What was the first one? I've not had my coffee this morning, so maybe if I just have a quick cup of coffee, that'll probably help. So why don't people do what they know they should do? Okay, so it's not a priority. Thank you. Priority. Why is it not a priority? So at some point you sat down and you said, do you know what I'm going to do this year? I'm going to sit down and I'm going to lose some weight. Brilliant. Wonderful. And then at some point you went, takes up too much time. Haven't got the time to do that. And that happens, and there's nothing wrong with that. As long as the thing that comes in and takes up the time is a bigger priority for you. So for example, if watching Game of Thrones, whatever that TV program is, we tried to watch the first season, couldn't get into it. So if Game of Thrones and getting through that season is more important than you losing the weight, then awesome. Game of Thrones it is, all 18 seasons, 700 episodes per season, an hour long, wonderful. But okay, when you get to the end of the year and you step on that scale and you go, oh, I weigh just the same as I did before, if not more, then you can go, yeah, but at least I know what happened to Cece. I don't know what the characters are called even. I know what happened to the big dragon, whatever, right? But now you've got a direct correlation as to why you didn't achieve what you wanted to achieve. It's because Game of Thrones was more important. And it's not for me to say that Game of Thrones isn't more important. Do you know what I mean? Like, I love sci-fi. I love Star Trek. I love Battlestar Galactica. I love all sci-fi. So, and I watch it, okay? But if I get to the end of the year and I look at my results and they're not good enough, there's a direct correlation to how much sci-fi I've watched versus my results. So if it's no longer a priority, then that's totally fine. If it's not a priority, I don't have a problem with that. But don't lie to yourself that it was a priority when actually it wasn't. Like, let's talk about price for a second. Because you know when people talk about price and they say, I can't afford it, it's really relevant, okay? There's only three reasons why somebody says they can't afford it. The first one is they haven't got the money, okay? The can't afford it is of a monetary value, okay? So come on my weight loss thing, and it's $5 million, and I guarantee you'll look chiseled abs in 4 weeks flat, right? Now, if you've literally, like, who wouldn't do that? Like, everyone would do that if you had $5 million tucked down the back of the sofa, but most of us haven't, so we can't do that, right? So money is a problem. That's number one. The second one is effort. I guarantee in 4 weeks, you're going to have 6-pack abs, but you're allowed to eat one celery stick a day and you have to work out 8 hours a day. Like, again, most people are like, screw that, I can't afford that. Like, I just can't afford the effort to be put into that. Okay, so think about this from a, let's say you were a property person and you wanted to get into property. I'm fortunate, we've been in property 20 years, done very well for ourselves, multi-million pound portfolio. But let's say you're trying to get into it and you need to go on a training course, but you literally haven't got the money. That's number one, right? You haven't got the money to pay the $5,000 to go on a training course. Number two is, now that you're on the training course and they're telling you to create some leaflets and drop leaflets, you know, you need to drop about 20,000 leaflets. And then you're like, whoa, I haven't got time to do that. I can't bother doing that. That sounds like too much hard work. That's the effort right there. So the third reason why people don't do it is they haven't got the time. So, okay, you want 6-pack abs, it'll take you 7 hours a day for the next 4 weeks, guaranteed 6-pack abs. Like, actually, that would probably work, right? I guess that would probably work in some forms, okay. So it's probably not the healthiest way of doing it, but at some point it would probably do it. Like, if you took a month off and went and lived in Tibet as a monk and just worked out and did Kung Fu every day, because that's all Tibetan monks do, no stereotype there at all. I apologize for anyone from Tibet about that stereotype. It is 2018, Dan. Not allowed to say about those things. but if you did that, you would probably lose all that weight and get 6-pack abs, right? But who's going to go and do that? So the third one is time. I haven't got time to go and do that. I haven't got time to go and distribute 20,000 leaflets. But like, all these three reasons are excuses, okay? Like, number one, I haven't got the money. What do you mean you haven't got the money? How important is it to you? It's like, you have got the money, but it's not a priority for you to move that money over from there over there. You know, if I said to you, okay, you've got 4 weeks, I need you to find £8,000, otherwise I'm going to shoot your kid. Like, yeah, it's pretty gross, right? But would you find £8,000 in 4 weeks? Of course you bloody well would. So how important is it to you? It's just not a priority. Do you know what I mean? Whereas if I did say that, you would find the £8,000 because suddenly it's now a priority. All right, so you would do anything and everything in order to get that money. But then when it comes to your self-development and your personal development and your personal growth and you being a millionaire, everyone wants to be a millionaire, right, until they have to do the stuff that millionaires do. Do you know what I mean? We've put in a couple of 18-hour days in the last couple of months. It's hard work. And it's not often I like doing that these days. But for the digital marketing business that we're just getting off the ground right now, that's the sort of stuff that we have to do. And that's what we have to do. So everybody wants to be a millionaire until you have to do what a millionaire has to do, right? So, okay, so they're the three reasons, the big three reasons why people can't do any of it. And those three reasons really do come into, is it a priority? Have you got the money to spend? Well, no. Well, you probably have, but you have to find it from somewhere. And if it means washing, you know, if a £10 a car, that's 800 cars to wash. Okay, so I'm not going to get £10 for washing a car, but would you get a fiver maybe? 1,600 cars. Okay, well, I might not get that. Maybe it's, I can't do the maths because I've used an £8,000 figure, but let's say it's £2 a car. That's is that 400 cars? No, that's only 800 quid. It's 4,000 cars. Okay, fine. Where do you find 4,000 cars from? How long does it take you to wash a car? 30 minutes to wash a car, 16 cars a day, 4,000 divided by 16. Let's do the maths on it. Why not? This is what I love. This is what being in business is about. And if these numbers ain't going to work, you know, like making £8,000 off washing cars is not going to be easy, okay, at £2 a car. Let's do a £3 a car because I can do that. 8,000 divided by 3 is 2,666 cars. So if we did, let's say we did 5 hours a day as a side hustle, so that's 10 cars divided by 10 is 266 days. So, like, if you dedicated a year to change your life, could you do it? Yeah. And I tell you what else is really interesting, actually, is that actually, if you went and did that at £3 a car for 266 days and spent £8,000, you had £8,000, you then going and doing that training course, I guarantee you'll be a success because you've learned how to be a success while washing those cars. And this is the bit that people don't get. They have to go for the big goal. They have to go for this. Well, there's no point in doing all this little stuff. What's the point? Like, you get paid twice. I forget about this stuff. You get paid twice, right? The first time you get paid is in experience. The second time is in money. Everybody wants the money. Nobody wants the experience. And then they come back and go, oh, it didn't work. Well, I've got $8,000. It's sat in my bank account. It's not doing anything. Here you go. Chuck some money at it. Property coaching, whatever. And then after 12 months, that's crap. That didn't work. Your course doesn't work. Well, how many leaflets did you drop? How many adverts did you place? Why did you not do? You've heard that saying. If at first you don't succeed, go and do what your coach told you to do in the goddamn first place, right? So, and it's true. There's a reason that that saying actually exists, and it's because people don't do what the coach tells them to do. You know, when we first started out in property, we dropped leaflets. You know, we were dropping thousands and thousands and thousands of leaflets every day. Heck, we even did a podcast about that, podcast 2 or 3, how to drop 50,000 leaflets for free, I think it was called. And when we had our lettings agency, obviously we would drop leaflets for our lettings agency. So we were like, well, why don't we drop leaflets for a leaflet agency? And then they can pay us to drop our leaflets for our lettings agency. And then we were dropping leaflets for We Buy Houses for Cash. And, you know, it works. I saw a stat. In fact, I've got the stats on my phone because I saw them. And I was like, oh, we'll do a podcast about that. Let me just pull it up a second because it's about leaflet dropping. Here we go. Okay. All right, here we go. You like this. The power of leaflet distribution. So I saw this on Facebook or Insta or Twitter, and I thought it was really cool. 48% of consumers either visited a shop, sent for information, or bought a product, having received a leaflet through the letterbox. 48%. You know when people go, leaflets don't work? Oh, really? Like, where the stats to back that up then? This is data carried out by the Direct Marketing Association. I don't know if this is in the US or the UK. No idea. But I think it's US-based. Anyway, 71% of those questions said they found free samples delivered through their letterboxes useful. 66% said the same for supermarket offers. You know, those leaflets, those multi-leaflets that you get through from, like, Lidl and so on with the discounts. 62% for money-off coupons and 47% for new product leaflets. 79% of recipients keep, pass on, or glance at the leaflets, distributed items. Just a little story about that. We dropped loads and loads of leaflets at a development called Velocity in Leeds. I've got an apartment there myself, which we bought for steal, by the way. It was on at 170. We put in an offer at 140. The estate agent said I was taking a piss. We closed at 141. We've still got that. It's worth about 170. Never let an estate agent tell you that it's too cheap. anyway, so we were dropping all these leaflets. And then about 2 years after, and I printed off these leaflets on my laser printer back then. We didn't have, you know, professional leaflets printed. It was literally an A4 with a picture of the development, and it was all off-plan stuff as well, because some of the flats hadn't been even sold as yet. They were built but not sold. So anyway, we were dropping all these leaflets, and then about 2 years later, there was a guy in Scotland, and he bought a flat. It became empty about 2 years later. He kept the leaflet. He kept the leaflet for 2 years, right, when he went back home to Scotland, his development's in Leeds. So when people go, oh, no, leaflets don't work, of course they bloody well work. Why are you dropping 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000? And it's one of those three. I haven't got the money, I haven't got the time, I can't be bothered. 38% of leaflets, I've done that one, 48% of consumers responded to a leaflet compared with 47% for direct marketing, 47% for television, and 6% for press advertising. Like, they responded at some point, okay, to a leaflet. Might not be your leaflet, but to a leaflet, to a television advert, to a... You know when people go, TV advertising doesn't work? Like, it kind of does, but it's just maybe not yours, right? Across the board, you know, it works in terms of building brands, but it doesn't work solely. So we know that leafleting works. So why haven't you gone and dropped 10, 20,000? Good morning, Ben. Why haven't you gone and done the thing that your coach has told you to go do? Like, as a coach, we don't tell people to go do this stuff because we're like, I told him to go do this, and what an idiot, he's gone and done it. We're not sat there, you know, like Dr. Evil, just giving random tasks. There is something to be said for behavioural tasking. We had a guy who wanted to lose, he wanted to stop smoking, and I said, that's fine, go and buy a pad, go and buy a pen, and he's a school teacher. And I said, you need to go buy a pen and buy a pad. That's step number one. I'll give you step number two as soon as you've done those. And he's like, no, I'm not buying anything. I'm a school teacher. I've got plenty of paper and pens. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I need you to go and buy it. No, I'm not going to buy it. I don't see the point in that. It's like, shut up. Like, I was going to swear then. Shut the up. Go do as I say. Otherwise, you don't get step two. And he didn't go and get step two. So a couple of things on that. One, how committed is he to stopping smoking? Not that committed. Right, this is why we do behavioural tasking. Go do this for me and we'll see how they perform. And if they don't go and do it, Why should they be even a client? Like, he wasn't even going to be a client. He was going to do it for free, which causes another problem as well, because then they don't value what you do, right? But good morning, Stephen. So on behavioural tasking, the fact that he wouldn't go and buy a pad for a quid and a pen for 50p tells me how engaged he is with wanting to stop smoking. Like, it was some hypnosis, some NLP stuff, which we've done before. We've done some crazy stuff with NLP, by the way. Usually it's on the back of a plane where someone's hanging onto the seats being scared, and we've, you know, we've talked them out of it, and then they're like, "Woo, this is awesome," on a plane. So we know it works. But with this particular guy, he wouldn't go and do the things that we were telling him to do, and it wouldn't get the results. So then why would I go and hypnotize someone when he's not actually that engaged? Good morning. He's not actually that engaged with the result. So behavioral tasking has its place in coaching, but going dropping 20,000 leaflets to go and get your business started is not behavioral tasking. That is stuff that actually works, right? And then it's like, not just leaflet drops, but what about, have you done your podcast yet? Hands up, by show of hands. I love saying that because I'm on camera, can't see anyone. But who's done a podcast this week? This is podcast 190 for me. And, you know, I'm terrible, by the way, and I'm a hypocrite too. But I'm terrible at remaining consistent. It is one of my Achilles heels. I'm just not very good at remaining consistent and doing the things that I know I really should be doing, okay? So I have to have notes, I have to have pieces of paper to remind me and that kind of thing. But if that's what works for me, then that's what works for me, and you might have something different. But in order to remain consistent, like, we know that podcasting creates interest. We know that. We know that going live on Facebook creates interest. We know it builds trust and rapport, and people get to know who you are and your personality and your little quirks, you know, because we all have them, except me, of course, I'm perfect. So we know all that stuff works, but then why are people not doing it? Well, I'm afraid of going live. Well, hang on, let's step back. Are you afraid, or is it just not a priority for you? Okay, let's work this through. If you knew that doing Facebook Lives would get you an extra £20,000 this year, would you go Facebook Live? Yeah. Well, why aren't you going Facebook Live? Well, there's no guarantee that it will work. Well, I can guarantee that it definitely won't work if you don't do it, right? There's no guarantees in anything that you do. I might go and do 4 weeks in a Buddhist monk, losing weight, training to be Kung Fu master, and I might not get my six-pack. That might happen. I might sneak out every night and go and steal rice and eat lots of rice and get fatter. Like, that might happen, right? But what this is about is increasing your odds, excuse me, improving your probability of getting the result. That's all that coaching can ever do anyway. No one can guarantee anything. What we can do is increase probabilities, and that's really the key. That's why when you get a coach, your probabilities of success are greater than not having a coach. Your ability to create goals and follow through on the actions of those goals is greater as a probability than not having those goals and not having a coach to help you follow through with those. So I just want the summary of this podcast is really those three things. The first one is, the reason why you're not doing something is maybe you've not got enough money, but actually that's a subset of a bigger issue, which is it's just not a priority, okay? Because those three areas, what we talked about, not enough money, not enough effort, I just can't be bothered, and not enough time, is a subset of a priority. Because you could find the money if it was a priority enough. You could make the effort if it was a priority enough, and you could find the time if it was a priority enough. You know, if you're going through a separation right now and you don't want to go through a separation, but the reason you're going through separation is because you're working too much, well, that's a choice right there, right? You're not going through a separation because your marriage isn't working. You're going through a separation because you've made a choice to spend all day at work instead of focusing on this. And if you never talk about the problems and resolve the problems and maybe get help, like counselling, to go through those problems, then you could actually save that marriage. But most people go, oh, because their ego gets in the way. I don't need someone else telling me how to run my life. My life's fine. Well, clearly it's not if your marriage is breaking, right? So it's just not a priority. You're not prepared to go through the ego bashing of counselling to save the marriage. It's just not a priority for you. So, you know, when someone says, and I love this line, by the way, you say to someone, have you done that thing for me yet? And they go, no, I've not had time. And you go, oh, no, what you mean is it's not a priority for you. I've got it. Okay. And then they're like, no, no, well, And I love having that argument with people because it really puts them on the back foot. And that's one of the things I really enjoy doing, actually, is putting people on the back foot and being a bit unusual. But look, we covered an awful lot, coming up to 20-minute mark. I hope that's useful for you. I hope there's plenty of stuff you can take in there about priorities, those three objections to a sale or objections to you getting the result, which is no money, no effort, and no time, which is basically all priority issues, not that you haven't got back those things, just priority. And we'll catch up with you on the next podcast, which should be tomorrow. Well, I hope you have a wicked day, and we'll speak to you tomorrow. We're going to talk about goals tomorrow in 2019. All right, catch up with you then. Take care. Bye.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.